Thank you for taking time to listen to this week's message from First Orlando. You can find even more content, including video archives of this and other past messages, at firstorlando.com. And if you're in the Orlando area, be sure to visit us sometime soon. Now, enjoy this podcast from First Orlando.
Well, good morning, and it's great to have the opportunity to be with you today on St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you. We had a lot more green in the first service than we have in this service, I'm just saying. And do you know why we celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Do you know what he's known for? St. Patrick actually is celebrated because he is the one who most influenced the gospel in Ireland. He wasn't the first Christian there, but he was enslaved there, escaped, and God convicted him. He trained himself and then went back as a missionary and is credited with the expansion of the gospel more than any other person in Ireland. And today marks his death, and so we celebrate. But isn't it crazy that we celebrate St. Patrick and very few people can tell you that what made him famous was his spreading of the gospel in Ireland? I wonder sometimes, could distractions, could things around us make it such that somehow, that even though that's what our purpose is to be ambassadors of Jesus and to help other people come to know Christ, could it be that somehow we get known for something else? That we're not known for the gospel? I think that's what Jesus was talking to his disciples. They'd spent 3 years with him. And this discourse in John 15 that we're going to look at in just a second is actually what he was saying to them. Like, it's after the Lord's Supper and before Gethsemane. This is when he's saying this. So he's already shared that last Passover meal with them. And then he's talking to them. He's trying to explain to them what's coming. And part of his explanation is, I think he's saying, you don't realize how quickly everything that I've invested in you, everything that I've taught you can go away just like that. When you get distracted or something else happens and you move away from what we're talking about. And he said something in this passage that is profound and deep and actually freeing for us, gives us hope to be able to live the way he wants us to live. Jesus was saying, as David said, without me, you can't do anything worth doing. And with me, anything worthwhile can be accomplished. The key is to be in him. Let's read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read them here. You can follow along in your Bible if you have it. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus was saying in this passage, I am the true vine. Notice he doesn't just say, I am the vine. He says, I am the true vine. And there's a reason that he says that he adds the qualifier true vine. And that's because in that day and in the Old Testament, Israel, the people of Israel, were called the vine. They referred to themselves as the vine or the vineyard. And so Jesus is actually reminding his disciples or explaining to his disciples and to us, he is the fulfillment of all of the promises to Israel. Everything, you know, God promised Abraham, if you follow me, all of your descendants will be a blessing to everyone. And the way that that happened is through Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment. All the feasts, all the celebrations, all the temple practices, all of that pointed to Jesus, and he was the fulfillment of everything promised to Israel. Jesus was establishing something new. He said earlier in John 13 that he was given a new command. We'll refer to that in just a minute as well. But he was saying there is something new that has come. He was telling his disciples, today I'm introducing a new promise, which he's going to talk about here, a new kingdom, a new cup that he had just shared with them, a new supper of remembrance, a new command, a new sacrifice, which was once for all, a new kingdom, a new people, a new vine, the true vine. Jesus was, when he said true vine, this statement is actually double offensive to the people in that day. He's saying this to the disciples, but when this got out, the reference to I am is he's claiming Godhead, and the reference to the vine is he's the fulfillment of all of the promises to Israel. He in essence is saying, I am God and I am the Messiah. That's who Jesus said. And Jesus established a new kingdom, and we are that new kingdom. It is us. We have one Savior, one Lord, and one King. His name is Jesus. The idea of true vine, it underscores, when he says this, the true vine, it underscores the exclusivity of Jesus as the sole means of salvation. Doug talked about this last week. Jesus isn't a door to salvation. He is the door to salvation. And he is the true vine. The only way to God is through Jesus. The true vine is Jesus, and Jesus is the center of our lives, like we just sang. And the reason he's the center of our lives is because he's the true vine. He is the essence of all of the promises that God made to us. He's the singular source of eternal life and abundant life. Jesus is he. And following Jesus requires a change in direction. We call that repentance. Like, I'm going this way, doing my own thing, following my own lead, deciding for myself what I do, choosing my own likes and dislikes. And I turn from that and say, I'm not doing it my way anymore. Now I'm doing it your way, Jesus. I'm following your way. It's a change in direction, but it's also, he's explaining here, something that gives us hope. It's a change in connection as well. We go from being on our own to being attached, being connected to Jesus. Jesus is the center of our lives, and he's our obsession, and he is our confession. We derive all of our spiritual vitality by being connected to Jesus. I'm sure there's some people here today or maybe watching today, and you're not a Jesus follower yet. You're kind of like kicking the tires or asking questions or curious, or maybe you're just at a season of life where something really hard has happened and you felt like, well, I'm gonna make my way to church and see if there's an answer there. And I wanna tell you, you're in the right place and you've come to the right place to ask questions and be curious. But I want to tell you, what you find in following Jesus is more hope and help than you ever dreamed or imagined, because we get to connect to someone. As David was saying, it's a relationship that we have. We don't follow a moral code. We follow a person who lived a certain way and loved a certain way. And that's how we do it as well. And following Jesus, being connected, being attached to him. When we read that passage, I don't know if it feels like it to you, but it feels like he's saying the same thing over and over again, doesn't it? And he did that on purpose. Sometimes he needs to say things over and over for us to get it. This idea of abiding, what does that mean? Because he says, if you abide in me, like, you can almost pray what you're feeling and I'll answer it. You can bear fruit, and without abiding in me, you can't do anything. What does it mean to abide? I can tell you it's more than just attending on Sunday. Abiding is our own personal journey with Jesus. It's attaching more than attending. It's connecting. It's spending time praying. Like, just in the mornings or in the evenings, whatever time is right for you, spending time talking to God, maybe in your car, maybe as you take a walk. maybe in a room in your house that you can set aside some space and reading the Bible, spending time in Scripture. And it's spending time worshiping. We do that some together on Sundays, and maybe you do some of it on your own. Again, finding a place where you can worship on your own. It's serving. Oftentimes, one of the best ways that we attach to Jesus, that we connect with Him, is when we're serving other people and finding ways to serve. In all of these ways, we connect, and sometimes it's being in authentic relationship with other people who are on the journey with you. Because it's in those relationships and in those conversations that God stirs your heart and speaks to you and helps you move and connect with Him as you connect and attach to other believers as well. And that's what it means to attach. It's the picture of a vine that He was using. In His day and where He lived in Jerusalem and throughout the region there all the way to Galilee, this would be a very common sight to see vines and branches, and I'm persuaded that He was walking where He could see them. He's a master teacher. He saw this, and He said, see that vine and those branches? That's what it's like for Me and you. I'm the vine, and you're the branches. And why do you need to stay connected? Or we need to stay connected? Because without Him, we can do nothing. Nothing worth doing can happen without Him. Verses 4 and 5 say that. Let me show it to you again. Just the highlighted part, it says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, neither can you. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. Apart from Him, we can do nothing that is worthwhile. The things that really matter, we can't do on our own. And because of our human condition, when we try to do it, it usually is not very good. Our purity or our attempts at purity, trying to live a holy life, trying to be the right people, it becomes that ugly religion that we've trying to get away from that David talked about. It becomes performance and legalism and pride. And our service, trying to serve on our own strength, becomes self-serving or even vain suffering. You can't believe all the serving that I'm doing. Or it's a sense of earning, like I'm doing this and God's going to give me credit for it. All of that from the detached attempt to walk with Jesus. Like, you can't do that. That's not the way to walk with Jesus. It's so empty. David and I heard someone at the Exponential Conference talking about this same topic, and I love the illustration that he used. He said, trying to live the Christian life detached from Jesus is like being a Christmas tree. You're all decorated up, but on the inside, you're withering away because you're not connected. And some of you here today, maybe that's the way you've been trying to do life. You're just like, I'm just working hard. I'm trying to please God, but I feel empty on the inside. I don't feel attached or connected to Jesus. And that abiding only comes when we take the initiative and again, spend time in those simple practices of spending time with God and talking to Him and reading our Bible and worshiping Him and being with other believers and serving others. That is the way we abide with Him. And when we're unattached, the work we try to do seems so vain and empty that we're like a Christmas tree. People look at it, and sometimes we think, man, you look awful nice. You look pretty religious. You look pretty put together. Everything looks right. And we know down deep that it's empty and withering away. I don't know about you, but there are days in my life that's what I feel like. And there are days that that's what I act like. Like there's a veneer there, but when something happens to me, or the situation isn't right, I respond in the wrong way. I'm sure y'all never have that where you respond wrong, but I do. And the other day I was meeting with one of our members, a couple came in, and at the end of our really nice visit, getting their story and hearing about them, I asked them where they work, and the gentleman told me, and then the wife said, I work, and she named an airline that she works for. I said, I'm a ticket counter agent at an airline. I said, oh, okay, that's great. And in my previous work, I flew a lot, and she did not work for that airline, but for another airline. And so we talked for a second. She said, I actually helped you one day at the airport. And I go, oh, no. If she remembers helping me at an airport, it probably was one of my bad days. Because, again, I'm sure it never happens to you, but I can get uptight at an airport. Like the flight's delayed, it's messed up my whole schedule, and I just have to take it out on the agent behind the counter. I'm happy to report that's not why she remembered me. She just said she recognized me and she pulled me out of the line. I was way back in the line and she pulled me out of the line. And as soon as she said that, I go, oh, I remember you. You know what? It was 2020 and she had a mask on and so did I. She recognized me. She told me because of my hair, but I didn't recognize her when she came to my office because I had only seen her with a mask on. Relieved I was that I didn't act like that, because oftentimes I do. Because I'm not abiding in Jesus. Jesus says, if you don't abide in me, you can't do anything that I want you to do. And then he also says the inverse. He says, in him, we can bear much fruit. What great news that is. In Jesus, we can bear fruit doing something worthwhile. Yeah, that's exciting. So verse 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. What a promise this is, that we abide in Jesus and he produces the fruit in us. You notice what he says, we bear the fruit, he produces the fruit. And he does that through us. Now he also talks about the Father pruning. The Father is the vine dresser. In verses 1 and 2, he talks about this, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Now, keep in mind, these are branches that are connected. The dead ones he's thrown out, but the ones that are connected, but they need to bear more fruit, he cuts them, he prunes them. And that's what he does with us. That's one of the evidences that we are a connected vine, is that we are being pruned. And I would encourage you, like, always be sensitive. That's what happens as we abide, as we spend time with God, as we pray, as we spend time in Scripture, as we are serving and worshiping. That's when we hear Jesus say to us, hey, that relationship needs to end. Hey, that fear that you have, that's not of me. You can let go of that. Hey, that affection that you have, or that loyalty that you have, or the offense that you've taken, and the burden that you have, or that agenda that you have, I need you to get rid of it. I'm pruning it. It's one of the evidences that we are abiding with God, or abiding with Jesus, as we get that. And the whole idea that Jesus is explaining here, which is the truth of the vine and the branches, is it's the abiding is surrendering to Jesus. It's saying, whatever you want me to do, I will do. And surrender, our posture towards Jesus, surrender is a sign of pure spiritual health. It's also the way to joy. It's when we surrender and say to Jesus, I will do whatever you tell me to do. And my ear is keen to you because I'm abiding in you. I'm listening closely to what you tell me. And when we do that, we start living the Jesus way. One of Jesus' most common phrases when he was teaching in his ministry was, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. Like, there's a way that most people do things, but then there's my way, and it's different. If we lived the Jesus way, it would be so remarkable in our culture today. And so I would ask you, do your actions and reactions align with the ways of Jesus? Do they give a clue that you're abiding in Jesus? Abiding in Jesus is less about doing things for Jesus, and it's more about surrendering to Jesus, letting him do work in us. And something amazing happens, that when we begin to surrender to him, he uses the most basic practices in our life, the most basic interactions, the basic conversations, or the things that we do that we really don't think they're worthwhile or meaningful. They seem ordinary and routine. Interactions with people, conversations that we have, needs that we meet. I think I can help them. Let me just do it. And we don't think anything of it. And somehow, even though we don't think anything of it, it's Him producing fruit in us, and we're just bearing the fruit. And abiding is when God is working through us. And Jesus was reemphasizing this new covenant, this idea that there's a new promise. He said in verse 12, this new command, it says this: "This is my commandment, that you love one another the way I have loved you." He said the same thing in chapter 13, just two chapters earlier. And basically what he's saying is there is a different way, the Jesus way. When we're connected to Jesus, we can be people that we can't be on our own. And we're attached to Jesus, we live what someone called the naturally unexplainable life. When we live attached to Jesus, somehow He begins to speak to us in ways and use us in ways that seem unbelievable because we weren't expecting it, but somehow He's using the most ordinary parts of our lives to be a blessing to the people around us and to help distribute the gospel. It's the way that it happens. Last week, I got a call from one of our members. His name is Brian. I've been longtime friends with Brian, and he called me, and the first few words in the phone call startled me because he seemed uptight and anxious and telling me he needed help with something. And so I was taken aback when he first said it. I said, "Well, what's up, man? How can I help you?" And he said, "Well, there's a neighbor down the street that passed away a couple days ago, and I just had a visit from his two sons, and he was stuttering, he was stammering, having trouble telling me what was," and I'm like, "What happened?" And I'm thinking, was he somehow involved in his death or something? Like, what's going on? And he said, his sons came over and said that dad passed away, making sure I knew, and I had already heard, and said that he really didn't ever attend a church, and that he doesn't know a pastor, but dad told us about a lot of your conversations with him, and he really considered you to be like a spiritual guide in his life, and we're just wondering, would you do his funeral for us?" And Brian was scared to death. Like, "I've never done a funeral. How do you do a funeral?" He's asking me for, like, can you share your notes with me? And I said, "Sure, Brian, and I'll give you some scriptures to read, and you're going to do great." And I talked to him a few minutes and prayed with him and just encouraged him and said, "It's going to be great." And he didn't know this, but I know the funeral director at Doug Dobbs, at Dobbs Funeral Home, where they held the funeral. And so a few days later was the service, and right at the end of the service, I got a text from my friend Doug. And he said this: "Your man, Pastor Brian, knocked it out of the park today." Pastor Brian. Somehow, in some way, Brian said, "Danny, I really never, like, I never went over there to say, I'm going to tell him about Jesus today. It's just I went to his house and sat on the porch, and over time we became friends. And then he began to ask me questions about my life, and it just was a part of my journey to tell him about what Jesus has done for me. And I would have never dreamed that he thought that somehow I was helping him on his spiritual journey, because I just never felt like it was meaningful at all." And that's exactly what it's like. When somehow, some way, you're attached to the vine, and Jesus begins to produce fruit in us. And I've seen it in you over and over again because you're attached to the vine. And this, when we're attached to the vine, the Jesus that is in us is so much more than we think. You know, I read somebody said it's like Jesus in us and us in Jesus. That's the way Paul said it. Christ in you and you in Christ. It's like the bottle is in the ocean and the ocean is in the bottle. And that's what it's like when we're abiding in Christ. We're filled with all of Him. And He is in us and we are in Him. And this Jesus who is in us, He is the glorious, limitless, amazing, incredible, expansive, incomparable, marvelous, stunning, staggering, majestic, mighty, matchless, spectacular, outstanding, tremendous, immense, infinite, vast, grand, triumphant, victorious, precious, radiant, peerless, wonderful, magnificent Christ who has chosen to place all of His fullness in us. So today, we live the Jesus way, connected to Him, attached to Him, abiding in Him, pointing everybody to Jesus. That's what it means to abide.
Thanks again for listening to the First Orlando podcast. For more information like our service times, location, and other contact information, be sure to visit us online at firstorlando.com. Have a great week.